With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello and welcome, dear listener, to this week's EvoStick Extra. My name is Ben Hughes, and coming up in this week's show, we'll be previewing that big FA Cup tie this coming weekend as we speak to Gary Hackett of Stourbridge. We'll be discussing league with James Hayes and Whitby Town manager Chris Harder. We'll be discussing Corby Town with John Dunham. And we'll be previewing all of this weekend's fixtures in the Premier Division with Mark Carruthers from the Non-League Daily. All of that and a little bit more on this week's EvoStick Extra. Happy New Year. So, hello everybody and welcome to this week's EvoStick Extra. Happy New Year to you all and a Happy New Year to James Hayes. Hello James, how's things?
How are we doing, Ben? I'm not too bad.
So, later in the show, we're going to be speaking to Mark Carruthers. He's got a fixture preview for us this week. We're also going to be hearing from the manager at Whitby Town. Plus, we're going to be hearing from John Dunham from the Northamptonshire Telegraph, because Corby Town have awoken. Roar. In the meantime, before we get to league matters, there's a big FA Cup game this weekend. Don't know if you've heard about it. Stourbridge are in action, and that can only mean one thing. It's now time for our customary interview with the Stourbridge manager, Gary Hackett. So, a happy new year and a welcome return to the show. It's Gary Hackett, the Stourbridge manager. Hello, Gary, how's things?
Yeah, good, thank you. All good.
So, I've asked you off air, are you excited? I'm going to ask you again. Gary, are you excited?
Well, I've got to say, looking forward to it now. It's, it seemed a long time since the Northampton game, but obviously, we got Barwell out of the way on Monday with a healthy victory, and now we're massively looking forward to it. We're travelling down this afternoon, and we're stopping overnight, which is great for all the lads. And, we're going to give them the best opportunity to try and create that cup shock.
Now, you've been doing loads of interviews this week, and I feel like as a presenter of the show, I should be asking you different types of questions. But the obvious one is, I mean, how does it feel to be in the third round? Does it still hold the same as like the first, getting to the first round, or is it taking it up a gear now?
I think, being honest, you've got to say it has taken it up a gear. I mean, it's, we've been very fortunate. We've reached the second round on three occasions. We did the first round, but to reach the third round, and okay, probably we didn't get the most favourable draw, but even to just be in the hat with the Manchester Uniteds, the Arsenals, the Liverpools, that's when you know that you have achieved something a little bit special, and we're immensely proud of the football club to be there.
And I've asked you in previous rounds, you've been in that many rounds now, I forget how many times you've actually been on the show, but I've asked you a few times now about juggling the cup run with the league form. And again, the players haven't let you down really, have they? I mean, the league form's been superb.
Yeah, I mean, that is a testimony to the players. I mean, it's okay with me being a manager saying, you've got to put the FA Cup behind you, but it's been on everybody's minds. But their determination, and commitment to throw themselves into challenges, as we did at Barwell on Monday night before such a massive game on Saturday, they deserve a lot of praise for it. So I've been really pleased with how we've managed to keep our league form pretty strong under difficult circumstances.
And I'm not going to ask you for your proper game plan coming into this, but have you been watching Wickham, and what are your expectations going into this one about what you're going to be having to deal with?
Yeah, I mean, we were fortunate to watch Wickham on the 30th. They were at Cheltenham, which is not too bad for us. It's about a 45-minute journey. So we took in. I mean, they're in a rich vein of form, Wickham. They're the form team in their league. And it's, they're very strong. They defend very well. They don't concede many goals. But hopefully there's a few chinks in the armour. And if they catch us on a day where we're absolutely firing, we've certainly got a chance.
And any injury worries going into this one? It's speaking to managers in the past when they come to big games, injuries start to disappear within the squad. is that what you found coming into this one?
Well, we're all fit. There's a couple of little niggles here and there, but on the whole, we're all fit to go, and we've virtually got a full squad to choose from. So, I'm very happy with that.
Well, Garrett, on behalf of all the listeners, and I know this is on behalf of all the listeners, a big, big, big good luck going into this one this weekend against Wickham. It's going to be an excellent occasion. It's one of the results I'll be looking for this weekend. Probably tune in as well to Black Country Radio for all the coverage from the game. And a big good luck, mate. Really hope you win and get through to that fourth round draw.
Cheers, Ben, and thanks very much for your support.
So, Gary Hackett there, and a big good luck to Stourbridge this weekend against Wycombe Wanderers. It's going to be a boom-banger-bang occasion, that one, and very winnable for Stourbridge, I feel. There, I've said it. The form going into this has been quite decent, really. Obviously, there was no matches on Thursday the 29th because of weather, but there was that good 0-0 draw on Boxing Day against Rushall, and that 1-0 win on Monday against Barwell away from home. It's a good run of form that they've been on in the league. Normally, it's a cup run's supposed to be distracting, but this has been good for Stourbridge, and it points to a team banging form.
Yeah, they've had a very good Christmas period in general, in all honesty, where the two draws and a win just to get ready for the FA Cup as well. So one of the more informed teams coming into it. And with all the results, 3 points off the pace in the playoffs, if they go through this weekend, it's not going to exactly hit them too hard.
Now, we said the banging form. They're actually the second most informed team in the league. That result against Barwell sees Stourbridge now in ninth position, 3 points from the playoff positions, but all eyes now on this FA Cup match this weekend. I said the banging form. They're the second most informed team in the league. The most informed team in the league are a side who are currently in seventh position, James Hayes. That is Grantham Town. 2-0 away from home against Sutton Coldfield Town on Monday. Grantham, they're brilliant at the moment, really are strong.
Yeah, a good 4-1 win against Hensford over Christmas as well. Again, on both forms at the moment, and have had the best record at Christmas, and again, right up there in the playoffs now. I don't think anyone would predict that at the start of the season. They've done fantastically to turn things around from last season, and I'll say it week in, week out. And they are scoring goals, are the second highest scorers in the league at this moment in time.
A lot of people have said they'd rather have points on the board, and that's what Grantham have got.
Exactly.
Admittedly, they played five games more than Stourbridge, for example, but they are in seventh, 2 points from the playoff positions. Let's go to the top end of the table now, and Rushall Olympic are still out in front. That 0-0 draw we spoke about on Boxing Day against Stourbridge. Rushall's match against Colville, unfortunately, it was postponed on Bank Holiday Monday, and that still means, though, Rushall Olympic out in front. Whitby Town now are 2 points behind Rushall Olympic. They're playing the same number of games. They beat Frickle Athletic on Bank Holiday Monday by 1-0 away from home. A cracking result, that, for Whitby Town.
It's getting the joy back into the title race again, if that makes sense.
Well, it's closed the gap, and the form Whitby are on at the moment, I think it's encouraging. And, let's see how encouraging it is. Let's hear from the manager now, Chris Hardy, at Whitby Town. So, welcome back to the show, and a big Happy New Year to Chris Hardy, the manager at Whitby Town. Hello, Chris, how's things?
Very well, yourself?
I'm all good, thank you. It's been a very good festive period for Whitby Town, hasn't it?
Yeah, very much so, yeah. After a couple of ropey results during December, like you say, we've managed to get things back on track with two good performances, very gritty performances against Blyth Spartans and Frickley on Monday gone.
Which was the most impressive result for you? Because the Blyth Spartans one, obviously going into that, Blyth Spartans, everyone knows about Blyth Spartans and the reputation, but going into that game, obviously the form had dipped somewhat. What were the challenges going into that game, and how pleased were you with the squad coming out of it?
Yeah, I mean, the challenges were the same as most match days, to win the game. Obviously, it was on the back of a few bad results, albeit the performances weren't a million miles off. So like you say, the objective was to win the game. The conditions were difficult on the day, which made the result all that more pleasing. But obviously, Blyth Spartans are a top team in the division. We've got aspirations of our own, and like you say, against a few of the other top teams that we played in December, we fell a little bit short, so it was, like you say, really pleasing to get one over on Blyth Spartans there.
Now, dare I say it, Chris, obviously we've had you on a couple of times this season already, but we're getting to the serious end of the season now, and Whitby Town are still up there, still challenging, still in the title race. And to go to Frickley Athletic and get a result there, that's equally as impressive, I think, as going to getting that result against Blyth Spartans.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I think the Frickley results, now I've looked at the two games, was probably more impressive. Bear in mind, against Blyth Spartans, we're in familiar surrounds. Frickley was a very, very tough task, you know, for lots of different reasons. Coupled with the obvious ones, the fact that Frickley are a very competitive side, difficult pitch, you know, difficult crowd to negotiate. And on top of that as well, we had, issues with regards to meeting the right time for prep due to traffic incidents. So like I say, it was really up in the air, that one, but the boys came out with flying colours, really.
So what's your take now on the title race then, Chris? I mean, how are you managing to keep everyone's focus? Because I know you were expecting Whitby Town to put a challenge on this season, but you are there now. And obviously this weekend, you've got that tough match against Hales Owen. But then next week, you've got... Wait, so it's a title six-pointer against Buxton. It's crazy times at Whitby at the moment.
It is, and I think the only way that we can go at this is the same way that we have done from day one, which is each game as it comes. There's 20 league games left now, so obviously we're counting the games down. As I say, each game as it comes, if we can get points on the board, you know, we're in a position to be able to capitalise on that. But at the same time, you know, if we take our eye off the ball and the results aren't good, then we'll come away from that pack very, very quickly, because there's a lot of teams, you know, picking up points on a regular basis, and we've got to ensure that hopefully that's us also.
And just more widely at the club itself, obviously there was the telegraph mast issue a month ago or so. How's the mood off the pitch at the club at the moment?
The mood's fairly buoyant, really, for obvious reasons. I think if we're losing any sort of revenue, obviously to contribute towards what we're doing, then that puts a little bit of a dint in that. But like I say, we managed to get that resolved. So everything's as it was, plus the fact that the team are doing, you know, really well. So like you say, it's all very rosy at the moment.
And it's a cracking title race, we have to say as well. So a big thank you, Chris, to yourself and all the coaching staff and everyone at Whitby Town for being involved in it. We were discussing it last week, and pretty much one of 13 teams we reckon could win the league or get in the playoffs this season. It's been cracking. Happy New Year to you. And I'm sure we'll have you back on actually in a month's time or so for those big 6-pointers up at the top.
Great stuff. Nice to talk.
Chris Hardy there, manager at Whitby Town. A big thank you for joining us on this week's show. Buxton are back in the title race as well now. 3 points off the league leaders. A 1-0 win over Micklover on Bank Holiday Monday. A good result. That bouncing back from that Boxing Day defeat to Matlock Town. But Buxton, back in it.
They are back in it, and it's only because of the Micklover result.
It's a good result, though, against Micklover. Yeah, very good.
It's a very good result, but it's ignoring the fact of the last 3 games for him as well at the same time. They've not had the best Christmas, pretty much drawing every game. But again, with what Rushaw did, that has proven vital for him.
If they've had a bad festive period and they're only 3 points off the league leaders, I think it's been... That's a good outcome.
And the goal difference is positive, which later on in the season is worth a point in itself in most cases.
Now, still in the running, definitely, at Blyth Spartans in 4th position now. They're 5 points off league leaders Rushall Olympic, but they have 3 games in hand. Obviously, there was that defeat to Whitby Town on Boxing Day. They bounced back on Bank Holiday Monday, beating Workington by 3-2. I think there was a hat-trick there for Dan Maguire as well. And I'm not sure if it was a perfect hat-trick. He definitely tapped one on the line with one of his feet. And the third goal was a header. A cracking header as well. But Dan Maguire sealing the points there for Blyth Spartans. 3-2 winners against Workington on Bank Holiday Monday. Blyth Spartans, we said it on last week's MPL show, James, still in this hunt, pretty much, really. And I know they'll downplay it, but they are kind of in the driving seat in a way with the games in hand they've got.
They are indeed. And again, it will come in the next couple of weeks, again, when they start getting them games. I know we said about points on the board before, so it's just if Alan Armstrong can just maintain that pace going forward, and if Blyth have got enough fight in them just to continue. no doubt that they will do, but it's what they can do with the games in hand now coming into the next couple of weeks.
Now, Matlock Town. Now, at Boxing Day, a cracking result against Buxton. They followed that up on Monday with a nice little away win at Ilkeston, 1-0. Dinanga getting the goal there, leading to a terrible pun on the league website, a terrible headline. Let me just get it. Gladiators look back in delight rather than back in anger. Do you see that? It's very clever of the league website, that. Well done. Well done, Mr. Waters. Superb. Anyway, I got distracted. Matlock Town. We're going to speak to Matlock Town in the coming weeks because obviously they've got a very big FA Trophy tie coming up. But Matlock Town, in the hunt now for the league title, I'm going to suggest. They've played 23 games, the same as Blyth Spartans, and they're 6 points off the league leaders. So with 3 games in hand, it's a nice position Matlock are in at the moment.
Again, another one that wouldn't have said at the start of the season, but they've proven their intentions for this year for what they said at the end of last year. If you remember an interview later on saying that they were looking to challenge for this year, and they're now proving the point. But again, it's just what they can do with the games in hand, because I think Matlock could actually surprise a few people here in one of the competitions, but not both of them. Ask me the same question in a month's time and where Matlock are. I'd love for him to prove me wrong, personally.
You know what? That's the first question I'm going to ask Craig when I get him on in a couple of weeks. I'm going to ask him that. James says that you cannot juggle both competitions. What do you think about James? So we'll look out for that one in the coming weeks. Anyway, Matlock Town definitely in the hunt now. Spennymoor Town, a couple of pundits last week on the MPL show likened them with Blyth Spartans in that it's just a matter of time before they climb the table and start competing for the title. Corby Town 3, Spennymoor Town 1. We'll get to Corby Town in a second, but that is definitely points dropped there by Spennymoor.
Yeah, big, big shot there, I think, as well, especially with obviously the content of what Corby have been doing for the last month or so. Great result for them. Spennymoor's Christmas hasn't been the best at all. Everyone would have said the draw against Stourbridge would have been a good result for him just before Christmas, but with the Corby result, that's completely gone out the window. Obviously, the free clearing was a good win for him, but that Corby result, as we just mentioned, the second goal, is a massive, massive sting in the tail. And obviously, now with Stourbridge and Grantham and Hensford in striking range, could prove costly in a couple of weeks. They've still got that game in hand against one or two of the sides.
Now, Corby Town, that you called it a sting in the tail earlier. It's a cracking result for Corby Town, that, and it follows on from that 0-0 draw against Hales Owen Town on Friday night. That was impressive for Corby Town, a good result, essentially. But to then beat Spennymoor is just superb, and that means it's the perfect time, I feel, to bring in John Dunham from the Northants Telegraph. So joining me now to discuss Corby and can they do it, it's the welcome return to Evo Stick Extra from the Northamptonshire Telegraph. It's John Dunham. Hello, John. How's things?
Yeah, all right, Ben, mate. Yeah, good, thanks.
Happy New Year to you, sir.
Yeah, and to you as well, yeah.
And it's a Happy New Year for Corby as well. Out of nowhere, they've got 4 points and there's a glimmer of hope now, isn't there? What's changed?
Yeah. I don't know, really. It's the new manager has had a pretty thankless task of trying to sort out the squad and get who he wants in and everything like that. And I think, you know, talking to him now, he's settled, and you know, if they're going to do it, then the squad that he's got now is the one that will do it for him. And so I think the fact that they are now finally settled into something probably helps. And but you're right, it did really come out of nothing, really, the last two results, because, you know, I really want Corby to stay up, of course I do. And before the Hales Owen game, I think I even went on Twitter and said, you know, I just cannot see it happening. I don't see how they're going to do it. They were 12 points adrift at the time, and I just didn't see a way out for them, to be honest, because they didn't look like a point was coming. And then all of a sudden, they get a point against Hales Owen. Then they beat Spennymoor, deservedly. Yes. Yeah, deservedly so as well. And all of a sudden, those 4 points have not been matched elsewhere. And the gap in the space of 2 games is down to 8. Now, it's still a big ask, you know, because games are starting to run out all of a sudden and everything like that. But like you say, there is a glimmer of hope for him now.
And we had Gary Mills on when he first got the job, I think about a week into his role, and he was saying he just needs to get a grip of everything, and he in those opening months of his reign, if you looked at Pichero, you saw the transfers coming in, and is it just a case of belief? Is the squad good enough, do you think, if they're up firing on all cylinders?
Well, it was funny because I was looking at the team sheet before the game on Saturday. What day was it? Monday, wasn't it? I'm finally getting back to where my days are and everything. On Monday, and I looked at the team sheet, and I looked down the Corby squad, and I said to someone in the press box, and I said, that squad looks good enough now. It looks strong enough now. It looks like, you know, there's some players on there who have been at the level before. There's players on there who have won things before. And I just looked down there and I just thought, you know, that squad now, I think, could stay up. But I think it would have been more than comfortable if that had been the squad at the start of the season. You know, probably even further up the table. You know, a lot higher up the table. But the thing that concerns me is the amount of time they haven't got. You know, because they're better. You know, I don't see them going on a massive unbeaten run of 20 games. You know, I don't think that's going to just magically happen out of somewhere. It's just a matter of whether they can pick up enough points while others drop them, and then win the big games when they come along as well. And that'll be the key for them. But I mean, stranger things have happened. I've seen a lot of stranger things happen. So, you know, I really hope they can do it. And they've certainly given themselves a good start. They were really good on Monday. They played really, really well on Monday against Spennymoor, who are a decent side, by the way.
And how much is the home form going to matter? Because this weekend it's Matlock away, and obviously I've not spoken to Gary, but I reckon they class that one as a free hit, essentially. Not much expected of them. However, the following Saturday, Warrington are coming to Corby, and those are the games really where Corby's got a chance.
Yeah, absolutely. The teams they've got to target the games, like you say, now to a certain extent. Like you say, Matlock away on Saturday. I mean, Corby's away form is terrible. I think they've lost 11 out of 12 or something like that, and drawn the other. They haven't won away from home yet. So Saturday against Matlock, have been going really well all season. Really, really, really good season from them. So yeah, it's kind of a free hit. If you get something out of it, then great. If you don't, you probably didn't expect anything in the first place. But like you say, then you've got Warrington, and I think they've got Colville at home on the following Wednesday night after that as well. And they're two teams who are in the lower half of the table. And if Corby are going to stay up, those are the teams where they are going to have to pick up points for sure. Their home form is going to be absolutely massive, without any shadow of doubt, because like I say, they've only won three games all season, and all three of them have come at home. And stupidly, you know, they've beaten Spennymoor, who are decent and are surely going to be in the playoffs, and they've beaten Blyth Spartans at home as well, who are obviously one of the bigger clubs in the division and will be going close to promotion as well. So, you know, two of their three wins have come against teams who are going for promotion. So they've really got to start performing against teams in and around them and in that lower half of the table.
And it's a cracking attendance as well. I mean, they've got an average of over 400 now for home matches at Corby, which given the form that they've had this season, I think is amazing and shows the potential at the club in later years. Now, speaking of form, we do need to mention a team in Division 1 South while we've got you on, John. AFC Rushden Diamonds. We picked them up on the Division 1 show a few times now. The run that they're on is amazing. I mean, they're in fifth at the moment, but that's not the full story. They're unbeaten in how many games?
19. Yeah. They lost their first two games of the season. Lost away at Newcastle on the Newcastle Town on the first day, and then they lost at home to Chase Town on August the 16th on the following Tuesday. And they haven't lost since then. They've won 10, drawn 9, I think it is, since then. The latest win being of Bedworth on Monday when they scored twice in the last 12 minutes and in the 94th minute for the winner as well. So they could be forgiven when things like that happen. Apparently, they didn't play very well either. So they when things like that happen, they could start being forgiven for thinking that something might happen for them this season. They've been really good, to be honest. I mean, Andy Peakes has built his squad up. You know, a lot of members of the squad that reached the Southern League playoffs, Southern League Division 1 Central playoff final last season, disappeared, and he had a bit of a rebuilding job on his hands. And it took it. He did warn during pre-season that it would be September, October, really, before they probably had a settled squad in place. And and he's been proven right. And they've got stronger and stronger as the season's gone on, and they've beaten some good teams along the way as well. They've drawn too many at home, which he is well aware of, but their away form is absolutely sensational. They'll be up there to stay for sure.
It's unfortunate, I think, for Rushden Diamonds that they moved over. I'm sure they're having a ball in Division 1 South, but they picked a hell of a year to join Division 1 South. It's just so unbelievably strong this season, stronger than I've ever known it.
Yeah, it is, but I think it's brought the best out of them, to be honest, because, you know, Division 1 Central last season, and I think this season, with the greatest respect to it, is not as strong as this division. As you said, there's some really good teams in there, and you know, it's reflected in the table and the results, because the results seem to be all over the place. Even the teams at the bottom are capable of beating the teams at the top, which has been proven more than once already. I think from Diamonds' point of view, they've adjusted to life in it really, really well, and they've found a way to be successful away from home, which is fantastic for them. And it's an interesting one, because the run is bound to end at some point, you know, and then it will be a case of how they react from that. But what will be interesting for me is if their home form clicks into gear, which you'd like to think it will at some point, if their home form clicks into gear and they keep it steady away from home, I still think they've got a say in the title, let alone being in the playoffs. So really, I really do think that. So, you know, not wishing to put too much pressure on them, but I expect them to be firmly in the shake-up, not just for the playoff places, but for the title as well.
And that's what Andrew Simpson said last week. He said it's a three-horse race, he reckons, between Charlaine, Witten and Rushden Diamonds.
I think that's right, because if you look at the games that have been played, they're all the ones who have got the games in hand on teams around them. So I think the Diamonds have still got to play Witten twice, which is going to be huge for both clubs. And don't want to be disrespectful to teams like Spalding, and I mean, Spalding have had a brilliant season.
Yeah, they have, yeah.
Absolutely fair play to them. But again, Diamonds went there and beat them. So, you know, they've got a bit of an edge over them. I think they're more than capable of catching them. Newcastle have been brilliant as well. You know, there's some teams that have done really well, but I'd agree with what Andrew said. Definitely, I think I'd be surprised if the champions didn't come out of those three.
Well, John Donovan, it's been a pleasure having you back on the show. You need your teams to perform better more often, and then we can get you on more often. That'd be great.
yeah. It's been, yeah.
Now,
unfortunately, I haven't got a say in that. You know,
but you can write about these things. So you put the North in Northamptonshire Telegraph. So where's the best place to keep abreast of the non-league world of Rushden Diamonds, Corby and Kettering and that kind of thing?
Yeah, you know, we have the paper out once a week, but we have our website that's being updated pretty much 7 days a week, which is www.northamptonshiretelegraph.co.uk. You can find me on Twitter, John Dunham NT, at John Dunham NT, and we've got a Facebook page as well. Just search Northamptonshire Telegraph Sport, and they'll keep you right up to date with everything that's going on down this way.
Well, John Dunham, thanks for joining us, mate, and you have a lovely week. So, John Dunham there from the Northamptonshire Telegraph, talking a bit about Rushden and Diamonds as well in Division 1 South. They're having an excellent season at the moment too. But Corby Town, there's a chance now that the relegation pitch is going to start to get a bit more interesting, it looks like.
The one big thing we did mention last week with Corby was they weren't scoring goals. Throughout December, they've just started to pick up a little bit, and I think the confidence from the Spennymoor game could spur them on a little bit. If they can beat Spennymoor, Matlock, Warrington and Colville for the next three games, it will be a tough task, but I don't think the three will go in there thinking it's an easy 3 points anymore.
It's another player in the relegation picture, and that means more things to think about for the rivals of Corby Town. Skelmersdale United, they didn't have a game on Bank Holiday Monday. That was postponed against Ashton United, but they're second from bottom at the moment, 1 point ahead of Corby Town. 2 points behind Ilkeston. We mentioned the Ilkeston match against Matlock Town. The poor run of form for Ilkeston continues, but they still have a lot of games in hand over their rivals. They have 3 games in hand over Frickle Athletic, who are 5 points up the road. And 4th from bottom at the moment, Sutton Coldfield Town, they play 4 games more than Ilkeston. They're currently 3 points from safety. Sutton Coldfield Town, we mentioned their match against Grantham, 2-0 home defeat for them. Frickle Athletic, they're currently 5th from bottom. They're 3 points clear of the relegation zone at the moment. Hales Owen Town, they're 8 points clear of the relegation zone at the moment. Hales Owen Town have a mammoth 4 games in hand over Sutton Coldfield Town. So it could get interesting very, very quickly.
It's again down the bottom, and it's going to be a lot more interesting now if Corby Town do become a bit more of a player down in the next couple of weeks. And I think Hales Owen are, their games in hand will prove them just to be a little bit more safer. Personally, I still think it's between the Frickley, Sutton, Ilkeston and Skem for 3 relegation spots.
And lastly but not least, Warrington Town against Marine, that was postponed on Monday. So the last fixture we need to talk about is this one here. It shows Stafford Rangers still 17th, we should say, but Stafford Rangers beating Nantwich Town away from home at the Dabba Dome by 1-0. A good healthy away following there that day as well, apparently, according to the Facebook group. But Stafford Rangers, their 1-0 away win. Here is Neil Kitching talking to David Broom on Stafford Rangers TV after the match.
So, Neil, 3 points away from home, good way to start the new year?
Most definitely, yeah. You know, I've said to you before, you know, we need to improve our away form going into the second part of the season. And, yeah, superb win. But we started really slowly. First 15, 20 minutes, Nantwich were bang at it, moved the ball really quickly, and they'll blow a lot of teams away in this league in that first 20 minutes, and you've got to stay in it. We did stay in it, but we didn't play particularly well that first 15, 20 minutes. Struggled with their shape. Their full-backs were playing like wingers, you know, and they're playing like a 2-4-4 formation. And we struggled with it. And like I say, more often than not, they'll blow teams away, but stayed in it, stayed strong, and the longer the half wore on, we kind of got to grips with their shape a little bit, you know, and forced them to make errors. Front three started pressing in the right areas rather than tucking back in and making it a midfield 5. And they play high-risk football, and when you play high-risk football across your own box, when you've got pace and strength and endeavour like we've got, you're going to make mistakes at this level. And that was our game plan, to try and get them to make mistakes. They did it. They did it on the edge of the box, and we punished them, you know, and scored a good goal. Second half, you know, they had a lot of the ball. You know, we've rode our luck a little bit. You know, they've hit the bar. Adam's pulled off a great save from free kick. But having said that, you know, we've forced them into another error, you know, in terms of the keeper coming off his line, and because the ball into that final third was dangerous, so he rushed off his line and got himself sent off. And then that, you know, we've had a couple of other opportunities second half where we perhaps should have won by a greater margin. But like I say, rode our luck a little bit second half because they've had some decent opportunities. But when things are going well, which they are, we're winning games, we're playing well, the spirit's good, confidence is really high. Yeah, you know, you earn that little bit of luck, and it was on our side today.
With a lot of other games being called off today, it was important that you played first of all to gain one of those games back and to get a win.
Huge week for us, you know, and I think, well, we've made the squad aware coming into the new year. This week is massive for us because I felt today, and I've got no problem in telling everybody, I think it's game on for us. If we win today, 32 points, home game coming up on Saturday, you know, which we'll be doing everything that we've done today to make sure we get 3 points. If we can be sitting on 35 points at 4:45 next Saturday with 3 or 4 games in hand on most, halfway through, we're on 35 points, you know, I'm happy. And like I say, with games in hand, there'll be 1 or 2 looking at us and thinking, you know, Stafford are in good nick still, and they keep winning, keep picking up points, and that, you know, I'm hoping that we have an improved second part of the season, better than the first part of this season, that it's improved, and you know, pick up more points, and hopefully push on up the table.
So a big thank you there to David Broom and Stafford Rangers TV for that clip there. Neil Kitching in, a good result that against Nantwich Town. And it was a question we asked last week. Stafford Rangers, everyone seems to think they're gonna have a late charge for the playoffs. What do you think?
Well, looking at the last couple of results, I wouldn't put it against them. Again, they're getting the results against the right teams. They're starting to turn a little bit into that mid...
Still 17.
But they're starting to join like that middle four them little four teams and mid-table at the moment that are just getting the results against the teams at the top end. I think there's a lot more to come from Stafford with the games in hand, but they just need that little bit more focus against teams that they know they should beat, but they're just not getting the result. The Wednesday before the Christmas, the 2-1 defeat to Barwell, they're dropping the points against them sort of teams, and it's going to, I think that if they miss out the playoffs, with them games that I'll be looking at more.
Well, just to let the, you know, I'm obviously discounting Matlock Town and Blyth Spartans because they've only played 23 games and Stafford Rangers have played 22. So that gap to them is nearly insurmountable at the moment. But it's 24 points there behind Buxton, who are in third position, and they have four games in hand. So that goes to show you the level of gap at the moment between Stafford Rangers and the catchable playoff positions at the moment. So it is a tall order. It is a tall order, but not totally insurmountable. Not totally insurmountable.
Obviously, yourself, being an FC United fan, you've seen your club do it in the past from that sort of position as well. It'd be interesting to see if they could make it up there this year.
Well, James Hayes from Radcliffe Borough, and of course from the MPL show, thank you for joining us this week on Evo Stick Extra. You have a lovely week. And coming up next is Matt Carruthers. And I don't know how to sign off now when I say goodbye to you, because normally I ask for a link and that kind of thing. Is just have a good week, James. Have fun.
No, it's see you later, Ben.
So enough about the past. It's now time to draw our eyes to the future and to preview this weekend's matches in the Northern Premier League Premier Division, as well as that gem of a match in the FA Cup third round. We're now joined by, well, a jewel in his own right. It's Mark Carruthers from the Non-League Daily. Hello, Mark. How's things?
Hi there. You're not too bad. Not too bad. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, sir. Now then, we'll get to the league in a second or two. We've already spoken to Gary Hackett. I know you've already spoken to Gary Hackett this week as well. It's a very big game, this. What do you reckon?
It's a tough one because you always want to side with Stourbridge, don't you, as the rustic side, as a non-league side. But we shouldn't ignore the fact that Wickham are in very good form, sitting in the playoff spots in League Two, have a considerable threat all around the pitch. But obviously people, as I did in the interview with Gary, pointed out Akinfenwa and the big threat that he possesses. Having said that, and I said this to Gary, I think if any side in the Evo Stick could pull off this shock, it would be Stourbridge. So I wouldn't be too surprised if they force a draw.
It has been a cracking run so far, and I'm pretty sure we'll have Gary Hackett on in a couple of weeks' time for the preview for the fourth round, I'm pretty sure. But anyway, good luck to everyone associated with Stourbridge this weekend. But we're going to draw our eyes now to league matches, and we'll start with this one here, Workington against Rushall Olympic. We're recording this bit of the show on Wednesday evening, and the Non-League Daily's already reported that Alex Reid's left Rushall Olympic now. You got any more details about that transfer?
Nothing in terms of fees or anything like that. From experience, I dare say there'll be a decent fee going to Rushall, plus add-ons, depend on how Alex does. It's a big loss. I think he's been one of the best strikers in the league for the last two seasons, continued that form into this season. Clearly, there were more clubs than just Fleetwood interested. But he's following a well-worn path, isn't he, to Fleetwood? They like investing in non-league prospects. And hopefully, for his sake, he'll do well there. But where it leaves Rushall, I'm not too sure. They're doing fantastically well, top of the league. You just hope it's not too much of a blow to lose Alex.
I mean, it could be like a Gavin Allett situation, couldn't it, at Frickley last season, where instead of having one player scoring all the goals, they had another 10, basically, behind him, who decided to pick up the reins.
Yeah, that's kind of where they're at now, isn't it? They've got to either invest the money from the sale and try and bring in someone to replace, which probably isn't going to be easy, or they can go out and say to the players, look, you know, it's time to come together now and try and fill this void as a team rather than with an individual. And either way, because Rushall, it's a great club, you know, it's run by some great characters, and, you know, they're slowly built, and to be where they are now is fantastic. And it's going to be interesting to see how that pans out over the next few weeks.
And just to clarify my analogy about Frickley Athletic and the 10 players who picked up the reins, I'm not suggesting the Frickley goalkeeper scored any goals last season. He might have done, but I can't confirm if he did or not. But that's Rushall against Workington. Workington, obviously, it was a cracking game by all accounts at Croft Park between Workington and Blyth Spartans. Blyth Spartans coming out on top 3-2 with a Dan Maguire hat-trick. But Workington, they've been blowing hot and cold, we have to say that. They are 10th at the moment, but they are... You wouldn't be surprised, would you, if they did scrape into the playoffs at the end of the season?
Not at all. I think maybe with Workington, there was just maybe a hangover from last season's playoff final against Salford. That's possibly just taken a bit longer to get rid of. Been through a lot of changes recently as well, don't forget. Yeah. So I think it was always going to take a lot of time to settle this season. The only thing I'd say is there's a few teams above them with games in hand. You know, Stourbridge obviously have, Hensford have, Spennymoor, Matlock, Spartans. There's a lot of clubs ahead of them who've got games in hand, so they are kind of relying on teams to drop points in those games in hand. But there's a lot of quality in there, a lot of good players. The two goal scorers at Blyth in that game are two good players. You know, Robert Wilson and Scott Allison can create chances and score chances. So it's going to be a... It's a big ask, I think, for them this time to get in the playoffs, but you just never know what we're working, much the same as you never know what's going to turn up on the day.
Absolutely. Now, we said about blowing hot and cold. Whitby Town, they've had I think they've come out of a dodgy patch now. That win against Blyth was excellent, obviously, and we've already spoke to Chris Hardy on this week's show. This weekend, they're travelling south to take on Ashton United in Tameside, and what do you reckon for this one?
Yeah, and that win over Blyth will be a big boost for them. I say this every time I come on, but I'll say it again, but what a job Chris Hardy has done there. A great guy with a great footballing philosophy, likes to play in the right way, has brought in players from the Northern League, he's brought some in from academies, but they just seem to gel. And I realise, as you say there, they have gone through a bad spell, but did anyone realistically see Whippy being second top going into this year? It's incredible, and it's down to Chris and his coaching staff then. I do genuinely hope that they do keep this up. I really like Mikey Roberts. I think he's an excellent striker, one of the best in the league for me. It's just going to be interesting to see where they go from here. But a tough game at Ashton. Obviously, they've been through a lot of changes this season, which have been well documented. Lost a lot of players to Stalybridge, Bridge, have followed the management team there. But again, it's always a tough place to go, Hurst Cross, and that'll be a good test for Whitby.
And we talked about this on the MPL show last week about Whitby. You might know the recruitment a bit better, obviously, being in the North East. But we suggested that Whitby Town are in a better position geographically than, say, Buxton are. Buxton are in the middle of some very major footballing centres. And when we spoke to Martin McIntosh in September, he was talking about the inevitable pinching of players by clubs around them. Whitby Town don't necessarily have that problem where they're based, do they?
They don't, but I think what Whitby do have an issue with is there's players still in that area who play in the Northern League who can kind of stay in the Northern League and earn a bit more money in the famous be home by tea time on a Saturday kind of analogy. So they do struggle to get players in, so they've had to be very clever with the recruitment. They brought in some lads from academies, as I've said, and they have managed to persuade a few Northern League players to step up and have a go in the Evo Stick, which I think more should, to be honest. You know,
most clubs should, to be fair, I think, not just players.
Well, to be fair, that'll be coming. But yeah, Whitby, it's difficult for them because they are kind of on their own as a club. You know, Blyth's are closest, or Blyth and Spennymoor are the closest, but it is a battle to get players to go there purely because it's mostly Northern League players they're targeting.
Now, I mentioned Buxton there. Buxton are travelling to Hales Owen Town this weekend, looking to keep the pressure on the top two. Still very much in this title race at the moment. Hales Owen Town, we've said on this show that we reckon they're going to be all right because of the games in hand, and results would suggest that they are going to be all right because they get points here and there and they get victories here and there, but they do have to keep their eye on things behind them, don't they? Especially with Corby getting some points on the board all of a sudden.
Yeah, I think what will keep Hales on up, I do think they'll pick up points and have enough to stay up, but I think it's probably more the fact that I'm just not entirely sure the teams below them will be able to catch them. But there's still a lot of quality in that Hales own squad, you know, and I think they will stay up, they will get points together. It's always a bit of a difficult place to go for teams, so they will catch a few of the N4 teams unawares when they go down there. I just can't see teams below them catching them, simple as that.
Now, Blyth Spartans, they're in fourth position, bouncing back, obviously, from that Boxing Day defeat with a fine win against Workington. Still we suggested earlier with James Hayes that they're still in pole position here. They're still in the driving seat, if you keep these analogies going. They do have the games in hand. They are favourites, and you know we've got to remember they have had a change of management. They have had a bit of an upheaval, but they're still there, aren't they?
They are, yeah. And you know, they've got a striker now coming into his own in Dan Maguire, who's been very consistent since he's went to Blyth. I still remember him making his full debut against FC United in Manchester at Croft Park 4 years ago.
Very cold. Very cold.
Night. Yeah, well, it always is. But I remember, you know, Dan making his debut in that game, and he'd not long moved up from the Northern Alliance, which is, I can't even think what the equivalent will be down your way. It'll be
whatever's League.
Below the North. It will, yeah. Yes. You know, so he stepped up a fair few divisions, has gone on to become a bit of a, I wouldn't say a club legend just yet, but certainly a legend in the making. And when he's on form, anything can happen. Blyth, to the credit, you know, they went through this big change, and it was a big change because, you know, Tom had been there, done a fine job, had the FA Cup run, had last season's disappointment. And Alan's come in his first senior management role, and things have just kind of, it's been an evolution rather than a revolution. The side has evolved into something different. A few of Tom's signings have kind of hit the ground running, the likes of Matty Patterson, who was at Gateshead last season. I would agree. I would make them favourites, but these three games in hand they've got on the teams above them, it only really matters if you get the points on the board. So that's the challenge for Blyth ahead.
And the challenge ahead on Saturday is Colville. And obviously Colville haven't played since the Barwell defeat. But we've been mentioning it a lot. Colville over recent months have been sensational, really, considering it's the first time up here. They've been doing really well, and many teams have come a cropper against Colville this season.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be overly surprised if that happens on Saturday, if I'm honest. Colville, for me, were one of the teams you would look at in pre-season and kind of think, will they be able to cope? You looked at the squad and thought they could struggle. But to be sitting in 16th position as we speak is a fantastic achievement. And you look at some of the teams that are sitting above, you know, established Northern Premier League teams, people like Marine, people like Frickley. So they're doing a great job, the management team at Colville, and Blyth will be a big test for them on Saturday.
Now then, Matlock Town. We've waxed lyrical about Matlock Town this season. They have been superb. The management duo there have done an excellent job. Obviously, they've got the big FA Trophy match coming up in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Like Stourbridge, it's not really affected the league form, if we're being honest. They're currently in the playoffs. This weekend, they're hosting Corby Town. Now, we heard from John Dunham from the Northants Telegraph earlier. Corby Town, it might have finally clicked, in which case everyone above them, which is actually everybody at the moment, should be a bit more nervous. Do Matlock have any problems this weekend, do you think?
Well, firstly, are we saying that Corby are this season's Marine? Is that what it's going to be? Everyone writes them off, and then all of a sudden they come out of nowhere. What a result that was for Corby, by the way, against Spennymoor. You know, Stephen Moore hitting a little bit of form, getting a couple of goals in that game, and they are still a long way from safety, which I'm sure the management team at Corby will appreciate. But it's a start point, and it's something to build on. And for that reason, it will be tough for Matlock. A great season Matlock are having, as he said earlier. Brought in some really, really good signings in the summer, and have just continued that momentum throughout the season. I must admit, I thought they would kind of slip away with the FA Trophy run, but if anything, it seems to have helped that momentum. I think Matlock might sneak that one, but it'll be a tough one for them.
And game of the day below Matlock Town at the moment is this one here. I'm going to suggest Spennymoor Town against Hensford Town. Both picked up plaudits last week on the Evo Stick MPL show, which is probably one of the reasons why they've not done well since. What do you reckon for this one? Because both of them definitely, I would expect that both expect to be in the playoffs, but they have to get on a run, I suppose.
I think the league positions that these two find themselves in, the situations that they find themselves in, probably shows just how strong the league is this year. And I know a lot of people, when Darlington went out of the league and when Salford went out of the league, kind of thought it would just be a weaker league for it. But if you look at that top 10 as it sits, it's a very, very strong top 10. And I'd probably suggest that six or seven of the sides could cope in the National League North if they went up. Two of them would be Hensford and Spennymoor Town. Obviously, these are the reverse fixtures from the first day of the season. And I think what you'll see is both sides will have completely changed from that game. Not in terms of personnel, but maybe in terms of knowledge of the league and what's going on and just being aware of what's around them. Spenny will probably go in as slight favourites, but they have had a little wobble recently. But there's enough quality in that squad and enough experience to cope with that and get things back on track. I fully expect Spenny to push Spartans and maybe two other sides at the top for the title.
And we said that last week, and look what happened. They got beat by Corbyn. It's our fault, dear listener. It's our fault. We do apologise. Just to add down, we'll come to some of the other fixtures in the middle of the table in a second, but there is another significant match, but down the bottom end of the table on Saturday, and that's between Frickle Athletic and Skelmersdale United. You do feel that Skem have to win this to keep in touch with safety this season.
I totally agree. And obviously, there was that worrying statement put out by Skem saying that they were cutting the budget to try and help things along and that Tommy Lawson, you know, accepted what was going on. It's a worrying time for Skem because they're one of those sides that have, you know, they've been in the league for, I think it's four seasons now, three seasons, and they've always done well up to a point and then kind of faded away. But they normally do things in reverse, don't they, where they start really well and then slip away towards the end of the season. It's going to be a monumental second half of the season if Skem are going to stay up, I think. There's enough quality in that squad to keep them up, but they need a win, and they need one quickly. Whether it will come on Saturday, I'm not too sure, but for their sake, you would hope so.
They did get a few players in before the budget was cut, though, didn't they? They got a few young players in from around the Merseyside area, so it might be a Corby situation where they just need time to click, essentially, and see what happens. But anyway, it's a big game, that one, this weekend between Frickley and Skelmersdale. Next up, where should we go? Well, let's go to this one here and stay down the bottom end of the table. Stafford Rangers, permanently in 17th, it feels. they'll be taking on Ilkeston this weekend. We're going to get Mark Duffy on in a week's time, I think, just to catch up with what's going on at Ilkeston. He did a very good blog piece this weekend about the need for belief in the Ilkeston dressing room to get them out of this. But they are in trouble. But they do have games in hand. So what do you reckon?
It's still kind of lying over from the first quarter of the season where they had a few games where they couldn't play because of whatever was going on behind the scenes. It's a worry with Ilkeston. They're one of my favourite clubs in the league. I don't mind saying that. It's a place I enjoy visiting. And they're one of the clubs that you just want to see do well. And they've got a young squad and a squad that will have plenty of enthusiasm, but you do wonder if the heads will drop as defeats mount up. It's a huge game, isn't it? And I must admit, I think Stafford will beat them. I think it'll be a comfortable Stafford win. However, the last time I predicted Ilkeston would get beat comfortably, I think they won. I can't remember who that was against, but that should give them heart, if anything. Stafford, I expected more of them this season, I've got to be honest. They came up with a bit of fanfare, made a couple of eye-catching signings, and it's just not happened. I thought they would be up and around the playoffs, but maybe it's just a year to consolidate and then kick on from there.
Well, when we discussed it last week, we were talking about the number of draws Stafford have, and that I've had in the early part of the season. That's probably why they're down the bottom end. They've only lost six games this season, which isn't too far off some teams above them, like Warrington, for example. They've lost 11.
Yes.
Where do you stand on this? Because Stafford Rangers, a few managers, like famously Jimmy Ginnelly a few weeks ago, he said, I wouldn't be surprised if Stafford made the playoffs. We were saying earlier with James Hayes, it might look like it's possible with the games in hand, but they're 24 points behind Buxton and they have four games in hand over Buxton. It's not totally insurmountable, but they do have to go on an FC United-style second half of the season run, don't they?
It's an FC United or Dalton-style run, isn't it?
Yes.
You're probably looking at them having to win, what, a good 80% of the games they've got left. Even then, you're relying on teams dropping points above them. I think it's probably just a stretch too far. But who am I to argue with Jimmy? You know, he's one of the most knowledgeable managers around. He knows the league inside out. And for me, it's just a step too far. If they had gone a bit earlier on a run, maybe. But I think at the moment, it's just a little bit too far.
Good segue, though. We'll go to Jimmy Ginnelly now. Travelling to Marine this weekend at Barwell. Marine, I think they're 10 points clear of the relegation zone now. They've got four games in hand over Sutton Coldfield Town, who occupy that fourth relegation spot at time of recording. Now, Marine against Barwell. Barwell, they're not totally out of the playoff picture, are they?
Not at all.
I wouldn't put it past them.
Well, I'll probably go down to Nantwich Town and possibly Mickle over for the playoffs. Nantwich, because they've got extra quality, would probably be the kind of last point for me. But in terms of Marine, you want a season of no dramas. You know, they've had a few in the last few years in terms of relegation battles. I think they'll, as you said, they'll comfortably stay up just because they've got games in hand. They've got those points ahead of the relegation zone. Barwell having a good season, on a really good season, and picked up some scalps. Have a very talented captain, a young captain in Brady Hickey, who you know has caught the attention of clubs further up the pyramid. So there's a lot of talent in that Barwell squad. They're one of those ones that I think will maybe finish just below the playoffs. But again, you kind of wouldn't rule them out. But I think the games in hand that teams have got above them will probably just make a step too far to make the playoffs.
And they do it year after year as well, Barwell. And all credit to the coaching staff and all the players at Barwell. It's quite an achievement every year they do it. And it looks like they might do it again this season. Now, you mentioned you wouldn't be surprised if it goes down to Nantwich and Michelover Sports for playoff contenders. That leads us to the final fixture for this week's preview, and that's involving Michelover Sports against Nantwich Town. On paper, it's mid-table fodder, but as you've alluded to there, there's a bit more riding on this one.
It's almost like we rehearsed that, wasn't it? How we just left
beautiful,
those two to...
Beautiful.
That was excellent. I think this game could be... it's going to be an attractive one. I think it'll be a game where whoever wins this game will think they have got a shout at the playoffs. I enjoy watching Nantwich. I always have done when I worked in the NPL with Spartans. A fast-paced attacking side. It'll be a tough game because Michelover are having a good season. Again, they're one of the ones that you maybe thought would struggle, but have done well. A relatively new manager in there as well. But I think Nantwich might just sneak this one, and that'll give them a bit of confidence going into the final months of the season.
Well, Matt Crovers, I've thoroughly enjoyed this week. It's been very, very informative, hasn't it? We've both been on superb form, I have to say.
You mean you don't always enjoy it?
No, I just generally. It's been a step above. It's been 110% this week, I feel. So, Matt Crovers from the Non-League Daily. What's going on in the world of Non-League Daily? We spoke about that breaking news on Wednesday with the Rushall sale of Alex Reid. And what else is going on? And how can people keep abreast of everything that's going on in the world of Non-League football?
What else we should point out, and I meant to point it out when we were talking about Hensford, is the move of Cohen Bramall going to Arsenal, by the looks of it, which is what a move that is for him. Somehow seems to be taking a lot of stick in the horrible world of Twitter, mostly from Arsenal fans not knowing who he is, which I think is a bit disrespectful. But good luck to him. It's a great move, and it's a big boost for Hensford as well, because it shows the talent that they've got down there.
And it shows the talent in non-league football. I should say, for Arsenal fans who are just looking in to research this, hello, this is third-tier non-league football. There's life here. It's amazing. Anyway, carry on. Sorry, Mark.
There is, and a lot of good players have come from the Northern Premier League recently and made it in the Football League. So, yes, it is a big step up to Arsenal, but he's got a chance, and I'm sure he'll do what he can to take it. In terms of non-league daily, it's obviously FA Cup week, so got a lot of big interviews coming up, obviously, as you said earlier, an interesting one with Gary Hackett ahead of Stourbridge's game. Been also talking to Barrow, to the Barrow chairman, Paul Casson, about their form this season. And just sort of, everything to do with non-league will be on nonleaguedaily.com. And for myself, on Saturday, I'm off down to Darlington to see their new ground.
Wow, the one they're sharing with the rugby club?
Yes, a lot of work's gone in behind the scenes to get that up and running. It's still, I think, a work in progress. But they've got a home. They're in the hometown. And that's massive for them as well.
And think where they were a few years ago, for goodness sake. It's a cracking achievement by a fan-owned club there. Superb stuff by Darlington. And we wish them all the best, former NPL side, in their new home. And we should say, there is an interview with Gary Hackett in the Non-League Daily. There's also an interview, obviously, on this week's show with Gary Hackett, but we've ensured that we've asked different questions, so you get something different in both interviews. Isn't that right, Mark? Yeah.
That's true. I'm fairly certain, I'm fairly confident that yours will be more entertaining than mine.
Oh, give over. Well, the audio words are a lot better. We both appreciate that. Anyway, Mark Rovers from the Non-League Daily, thank you very much for joining us this week on Evo Stick Extra, and you have a lovely weekend.
Well, that's it for this week's Evo Stick Extra. We hope you've enjoyed this week's edition. We'll be back next week, but remember, in the meantime, you can follow the show on Twitter. That's at NPL Show. And you can get involved with all the discussions and chatter on the old internet. That's at facebook.com/groups/the NPL. A big thank you to all my guests for joining me on this week's show. A big thank you to Stafford Rangers TV as well for their interview this week. And a big, 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 big good luck to Gary Hackett and everyone at Stourbridge Football Club for that big game this weekend. But that's it for this week's Evo Stick Extra. I've been Ben Hughes, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Evo Stick NPL side, make sure that you have fun. Goodbye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the Evo Stick range, you may need a bigger van. Evo Stick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.